The stock market has gotten back to record high levels, and while that looks good, sometimes things that look good are not so great when you dig deeper. And we're digging deeper now. This is the Danger Zone. Welcome to the Danger Zone on Money Life. This is where we talk with the experts from New Constructs, where they evaluate securities on a scale of most attractive to most dangerous. And they kind of do it for exactly the reasons I was just saying. Like, hey, the market, it's back to record high levels. Intuitively, at the surface, that looks great. But if you dig in deeper, maybe it isn't. And at New Constructs, they ask a basic question.
Is it possible I'm not as attractive as I think I am?
They want to find out if something really looks as good at the bottom-up level as it does from the surface level looking down. And so they dig in at the footnotes and work their way up. It's forensic accounting meets discounted cash flow analysis. And if you want to learn more about how it works, go to newconstructs.com. They're on Twitter, at New Constructs, and they blog about all of their Danger Zone picks, so you can always get more information and more details on the things you hear us discuss here. David Trainer is president and founder of New Constructs. David, great to have you back on Money Life.
It is great to be back, Chuck. Thank you.
Who's in the danger zone this week?
Index investors, especially tech sector index and ETF investors.
Danger, danger.
Okay. Index investors, but especially those who are using tech sector ETFs and index funds. This is a little bit about the fact that the market's back at record high levels, isn't it?
It is. And so we recently did our macro analysis, our quarterly macro analysis, after we get all the Qs that come in from all the companies. And we look at earnings and free cash flow, return on invested capital, weighted average cost of capital, profit margins, capital turns, all that from a macro perspective for the S&P and all 11 of its sectors. What we find is that the S&P is trading at all-time highs in terms of price to earnings. That's core earnings and unadjusted earnings, operating profits from S&P. And so we're in alignment with the S&P traditional measure of earnings when we're usually not versus our core earnings. But what we're seeing is that, number one, the market is already pricing in a total rebound in earnings. That's what effectively we're seeing by such a high price level, right? And when we compare this to the financial crisis, it took a lot longer for the market to effectively price in a rebound. And we're already there. And secondly, we're seeing it on a more granular level in the tech sector that profits are holding up pretty well, but almost all of it across the entire sector comes from four companies. And about half the sector in terms of number of companies are actually not doing well at all. The takeaway here, Chuck, is we're seeing a lot of really expensive valuations, and we're seeing some companies do well, and we're seeing the overall market do well in a lot of ways, right, in terms of price performance. But hidden behind the surface level great performance are a lot of really bad companies that are riding the coattails of the good companies. And we would urge investors to be a little more discerning. And then we would also say that index funds are not that discerning. There's not a lot of intelligence that goes into how they select these stocks, which is why we would believe strongly in the next phase of investing being direct indexing. You know, why do you pay somebody to put together a bundle of securities when there's not much thought that goes into it? And because there's not much thought that goes into these indexes, even though huge amounts of money flows into them, investors should be more discerning.
It sounds like if the market has gotten ahead of itself, and if there's no breadth to the rally in, say, technology and in other sectors, that you're kind of bearish on where things are going to be headed. I mean, is this, or underlying this danger zone call, a call that says we're due to see the market take a significant setback here at some point?
No, it's not so much that there's a lack of breadth in terms of the market trading. It's more that there's a lack of breadth in the profits supporting it. The S&P could continue to still do pretty well as long as the super producers of profits, right, the four companies that comprise 40% of the operating profit of the tech sector, as long as they continue to do well, there's a justification, for the S&P, because it owns all those companies, to continue to do well as well. The point is, though, there's probably fallout at some point with the other companies that are effectively getting painted with the same brush, even though they're not doing as well.
The overall expectation is what? I mean, how should an investor listening to this Danger Zone pick respond? Because under most circumstances, we're dealing with companies, and if they're headed for trouble, there's an easy way to avoid it. But if you are an index investor with the core of your portfolio, you're not necessarily going to bail out on the core. That's kind of the purpose of being a long-term index fund investor. So is this about changing expectations? Is this about changing the rest of your portfolio? What are you supposed to do?
You're a long-term investor, index investing, you know, look, I can't argue with the intelligence around that. And trying to time the market is not a good idea. I think if you're in individual stocks at all, that's where you got to be selective. And I also would think in terms of expectations here in the near term, I would not expect really high returns from your index investments because, yes, it's all priced in right now. A lot of good news, a lot of good stuff is priced in, and there's not a lot of breadth to the profits supporting that. And in particular, there are a lot of really dangerous stocks that are basically trading over their skis. And those are a lot of the danger zone stocks we've talked about before. You know, in particular, Beyond Meat, Carvana, Tesla. These are situations where we would strongly recommend investors be really, really careful because these are businesses that are extremely expensive and, you know, look, they may have a lot of momentum and sentiment behind them, but they don't have any profits.
How much does the pandemic contribute to this as well in terms of we've got to come out of the troubles that we've seen? So does that enhance or increase the danger in indexes right now and the S&P right now as a danger zone pick?
I think the real danger in indexes, you know, just their concentration, the unknown concentration they have in a few select stocks. Because if the market does tend to reverse, because look, we've had extraordinarily positive market outside of March. Everyone's sort of, I think, been in awe of how the market has done and how resilient has been. Even in March, you had like, you know, I mean, it was a V-shape, right? Like we had one of the worst pandemics in the history of the world and economic situations in the history of the world, and the market barely flinched. So, you know, there's a lot of support built into the you know, keeping the market going in terms of, you know, fiscal and monetary stimulus. Some of this Goldilocks scenario falls apart. Yeah, I think you're going to see a major pullback and in a big way. But it's hard to time that and hard to know. And there's certainly the powers that be are going to do everything they can. The politicians in place are going to do whatever they can, as any politician would, to make sure that there's no bad market on their record, right, during their tenure. So, you know, I feel like it's a dangerous game, but you got, you know, all of D.C. behind you. I'm afraid I'm not coming out with anything outrageous here to say.
No,
all that exciting.
No, but the other side of this here is for those folks who are indexers or perhaps especially are throwing money at the tech indexes. The answer there is be careful about it. You know, check your asset allocation and see just how much risk you might be adding in these times. Right. That's the other.
That's message. Right. That's right. That's right. I think, look, I also, and this is kind of potentially another topic, I do think we're going to be moving to a world where investors can make their own indexes and they won't be forced to buy just what the big players are selling. Right? Just like so many people in their 401k plans, they've only got a few select choices and funds. Why is that? That's because those funds pay a lot of money to make sure they don't have competition. That's really not fair. Investors should, in a democratized marketplace, right, be able to choose whatever funds they want, but they should also be able to put together their own portfolios. You know, there's no need for someone to have to pay somebody to put together a bundle of securities. And we're quickly moving toward a world where that's the case. And I think sophisticated analytics will also be in the hands of these users. And so they can put together their own fund based on stocks that earn good returns on capital and have good core earnings, not the unreliable measures of earnings that other firms use.
And then weight
those portfolios based on those same kinds of criteria as well. So yep. It's a new world.
It is. And in fact, several years ago, I wrote that the revolution would include personalized index funds. And man, did the financial services industry rip on me. And now, of course, they're doing that. And they're kind of making it that's the next step. But the interim step would be don't step in it by just blindly allocating to the S&P and especially the tech sector indexes because they're in the danger zone. David Trainer, thanks as always for chatting with us. We'll talk to you again next week.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you, Chuck.
That's David Trainer. He is the president and founder of New Constructs. Check it out at newconstructs.com. Find their most attractive and most dangerous lists and more. And remember, you can find their blog to get more information on all the data that we were just discussing. We are heading for home on today's show. Up next, J.J. Kinahan from TD Ameritrade will be here when we come back.
Oh, wow. This is actually pretty dangerous.